Mr. Speaker, I came here to make sure our republic doesn't die by unanimous consent in an empty chamber, and I request a recorded vote.
Something rotten exploded in my old Kentucky home's 4th District, and the stench of foreign cash and rigged turnout proves Thomas Massie didn't lose. He was the subject of a foreign hostile takeover.
And this is an amazing fight because he's got $0 from AIPAC, and his opponent, who refuses to debate him or literally show up on the campaign trail, has got $9 billion from AIPAC and much more from that group. And the question is, can oligarchs buy an election with lies and no candidate?
He was a DEI coach to corporations to help them understand how to implement gender neutral language, using their pronouns, how to better have a gender fluid conversation style, how to make sure that they change their boards of directors. That's where he's been for the last 5 years. So tell me about your dairy farmer boy from Kentucky. I got nothing for it.
The constitutionalist with a 99% Freedom Index score who co-sponsored the Epstein Files Transparency Act grilled the DOJ on blackmail networks and dared say no to blank check Israel aid saw his raw votes jump 19% with younger Americans flooding to him.
And we know why young people are, and, you know, middle-aged people are against the next war. Because we'd be the ones fighting it. They're trying to bring back the draft. Screw that. We're not going to fight some other country's wars, are we? No.
Yet, low-profile, basement-dwelling debate MIA Navy SEAL Ed Gowron magically surged ahead by 10,280 votes, almost exactly matching his 10,854 mail-in haul. Turnout actually doubled from 2024 in this sleepy off-year primary. Opposition votes exploded 357%. The energy and crowd difference between the Massie concession and Gowron's acceptance was miles apart.
Massie, 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 Massie.
This was the 2020 mail-in playbook reloaded. Outraged Americans have followed the money straight to the culprits. Miriam Adelson and two other Jewish billionaires backed by AIPAC's dark money machine that dumped tens of millions into Gowron's war chest, making this the most expensive House primary in U.S. history to purge Massie for exposing their game. Israel outlets openly called it the most consequential Republican primary for Israel. Trump sent Pete Hegseth to campaign against him. Another first for the United States.
President Trump does not need more people in Washington who are trying to make a point, especially from his own party. He needs people willing to help him win, to vote with him when it matters the most.
America first. Thomas Massie becomes the face of that politically.
This civil war in the party has gotten so out of hand. They sent the Secretary of War to my district today to campaign against me. I don't think that's ever been done.
It's also illegal.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, but it's insane. Like, we're in the middle of a war. Why should the Secretary of War come to Kentucky? I say it's because I'm harder to beat than Iran, and I don't even have a nuclear weapon.
The president trashed him publicly.
He was a bad guy. He deserves so much.
And boomer voters 65 and older, glued to Fox regime media and the last remnants of our Social Security money, delivered the margin while every younger demographic rejected the forever war grift. Probability that this was stolen by those three billionaires and their lobby, in my opinion, near 100%. They didn't need to stuff every ballot when coordinated cash, mail-ins, and demographic targeting do the job. Foreign lobbies now openly auction congressional seats while taxpayers bleed for endless wars and America First is flushed down a golden toilet. The system just proved it's captured. No more illusions. Demand the SAVE Act, demand paper audits, enforce the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act. America's under foreign rule yet again, and a revolution is inevitable. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
This is an emergency transmission. transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. You are insane if you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best out there. You're insane if you don't get our Methylene Red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work and they fund the operation.
So much silver, so much gold, so many politicians under my toes. I got my side making moves from the inside. Noah's flood, crude oil, mud, Moloch's chalice filled with children's blood. Bought the jury, bought the judge, got the whole White House filled with bugs. Paid off Congress behind closed doors, blackmailed senators with my whores. USA fighting my wars. Underage boys, we use them like toys. Young girls get pearls from pedophile goers.
If you want the money, you will do what we tell you.
And if you say no, we will simply just... Graves, we dig up. Elections, we rigger. Claim all our ops so for anti-Semitism.
Christ is king.
That's illegal under our regime. Now kiss the wall, bitch. Let me hear the goys sing.
We getting AIPAC money. We getting AIPAC money. We getting AIPAC money. We're getting AIPAC money. We're getting AIPAC money. We're getting AIPAC money. We're getting AIPAC money.
Hold up.
We hold up.
Now, yo, let me just say a little thing about this. I wanna see your foreskin, I wanna be at your bris. I wanna be a vampire, let me suck on your dick. I wanna see politics, I want control. Wanna make you my slave, that's my ultimate goal. I wanna pick apart your culture, wanna make you my bitch. Let me... Is that a serious ass question? Red Eli Vissel's night? Have you not, what fuckers? And now I'm thinking about it.
Congratulations! Congratulations! You did it! You defeated America! You defeated the Patriots! You shoehorned in your utterly despicable DEI coach carpetbagger. Congratulations! You must feel good about yourself. Enjoy it. You know, round of applause for yourself. It'll be the last time ever, so enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can, because, that's the last time ever, and it's about to get real bad for you guys. So, you know, really enjoy it now. Revel in it now. Soak in the victory, you guys, because... You had a lot of fun. You had a lot of fun. And this is, you know, humiliated a bunch of good people, you know, stole an election really in an incredible way. I mean, the amount of money you guys poured in, it's something to behold, really. It's astonishing, actually. So congratulations, AIPAC. Congratulations, Jews. Congratulations, Israel. You did it. You destroyed another good man whose only crime was not being fully submissive and subservient to you. Not that he was like an anti-Semite or anything, but just not fully a slave. So you've destroyed him. Congratulations. I hope he runs for president now. I'll be campaigning for him. So yes, folks, Thomas Massie lost yesterday. Rather unfortunate and rather unlikely. We have a lot of questions about how this came about. And put it simply... it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense, actually, how this could even come about. We'll bring you the numbers. We'll show you the charts and everything. But I believe we can go to clip number 16 here. Or actually, I think we'll go to 15 first. No, 16's right. Let's go to 16. This was Thomas Massie's watch party. He gave his concession speech there. I'll show you some clips from that. But let's just do a little compare and contrast from Thomas Massie's party to Ed Gowrain's party. And while this isn't, you know, representative necessarily, obviously, from the outcome of the election, I think it does say quite a bit. Not that, oh, look, Thomas Massie has, you know, slightly more young people there, but that Thomas Massie has an entire, you know, meeting hall filled with energetic activists supporting him. And Ed Gowrain's, I guess you'd call it a party. I mean, it looks a little bit more like a lobby at a dentist, like a bunch of bored people kind of standing around, not sure what to do. It really is a comparison to make. Let's go first to clip number 16. Here's Massie, gigantic hotel room, packed to the brim, energetic, youthful, numerous. Now let's cut immediately to clip 15. Here's the Massie party and the Gowrain party. It's in some sort of bar and a hotel lobby. And there's at least a dozen people there. There are dozens of us, I tell you. And the big empty space really echoes. The echoes are really something there in that big empty space. So look, is it, I guess this isn't how you win elections. You don't actually win elections by having a bunch of motivated, you know, youthful people in the community actually supporting you. What you have is a bunch of AI lies fed to boomers through Fox News. That's what it takes to win an election now. And again, it just kind of doesn't make sense. It kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. The numbers don't really particularly make a lot of sense. And just the energy and enthusiasm, it just doesn't exist for Ed Gowrain. And of course, the fact is, this was 100% the boomers' decision. This was a boomer election. The boomers, that is the people over 60 or over 65, are the only people that voted in favor of Ed Gowrain. I guess there's just so many of them that they overwhelmed every other age block. From Nario Nawfal, Ed Gowrain beat Thomas Massie in Kentucky's 4th Congressional District primary without winning a single age group under age 65. Seniors carried him across the finish line. Every other demographic voted for Massie. That's how powerful the 65-plus block has become in low-turnout primaries. You don't actually need to win the room. You just need to own the one corner that actually shows up. Republican primary for Kentucky's 4th Congressional District poll. If the Republican primary for the House of Representatives was held today, who would you vote for? 18 to 29-year-olds went with Massie about 80%. 30 to 44-year-olds went by about 65%. 45 to 64, 53%. So all of these, majority for Thomas Massie. It was only the 65 plus who voted for Ed Gowrain at 65% and Thomas Massie at 35. So thank you, boomers. Thanks, you freaking idiots. You know those ads were AI, right? Has anybody have your grandchildren explain AI to you, and then maybe you won't fall for it so much. And look, I know there's a lot of great boomers that listen to us. I'm obviously not talking about you, calm down, but the rest of your cohort, good Lord, I've never seen anything like it. The, I don't even know what you call it, self-importance of the boomers, the fact that our entire society basically exists to serve them and them alone. And we can get into some of the numbers, but you know, we literally spend like trillions and trillions of dollars just on Social Security and stuff, which cannot be cut. But of course, by the time I'm that age, probably won't exist. Somebody posted yesterday that the political stance of the average boomer is, in fact, that famous painting of the titan eating his children. It's basically if you just picture a giant monster eating their own children because they think they taste good. That's basically where we're at with boomers. And it's very sad. It's very sad to see. This is from Calvin Froedge on X. So what, we're supposed to believe that a guy who only had 75 donations from Kentucky, an empty victory party, and nobody at his rallies managed to double turnout from 2024, plus get all 10,000 mail-in ballots? KY4 may have been outright fraud. Those numbers don't make any sense. I can't help but see this and go, is this why we didn't pass the SAVE Act? Like, are we going to pass the SAVE Act now? That would be perfect, is like as soon as this race happens, they're like, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and pass that SAVE Act now. We've been kicking the can down the road a little bit. I think it's time to finally do it. Yeah, there we go. This is, put this on your bumper stickers, boomers. You can replace the Trump sticker with this image. Is this Kronos eating his children? Is that right? So there you go. You are Kronos the Titan devouring your own children. And thinking that your children are idiots for expecting not to be devoured. Yeah, it really is. It really is the worst. And I mean, the worst thing about it, there's got to be a movie scene. I'm picturing, like, isn't there a scene in Pinocchio where, like, all the kids that are going to be shipped off to the island to be turned into donkeys and put into slave labor? So maybe I'm thinking of a different movie, but it's like you're sitting there going, guys, you're being tricked. You're being fooled. You shouldn't get on the ship. You shouldn't go with these people. They're going to enslave you. And they're all on the ship like, see you later, idiot. You dummy. You thought it was going to be, you know, bad to be on the ship. But here we are on the ship going to the island of pleasure. So see you later, idiots. And we're like, okay, fine. Have fun. Enjoy yourself, you asses. You absolute asses. That's basically where we're at, is I got a bunch of people going, yeah, you know, Thomas Massie lost. Sucks for you. It's like, no, it sucks for all of us. No, you have participated in the, you know, abject takeover of America by a foreign power. Why do you think this is going to go well for you ever? It really is sad. And look, there's a bunch of people online right now that are claiming this is about supporting Trump. They're bringing up the fact that Thomas Massie voted against, you know, big, ridiculous spending bills, as if that's why he wasn't elected. No, he wasn't elected because the Jewish community in America targeted him for removal because he wasn't sufficiently pro-Israel or pro whatever their pet causes were and are, which continue to be not just the war in Iran, but basically everything else negative that Trump is involved in. So let's go and go to clip number 35 now, because I don't want to come across as an anti-Semite, God forbid. So here's a Jewish person admitting it verbatim. Let's watch.
I think it is a good thing if Massey and the people like him and others believe that if you cross the line into anti-Semitism,
if you cross the Jews,
Jews are going to use the power that we have openly to go for you, because what other recourse is there? Are we just going to sit here and take it, beg for scraps, hope that nice people in, you know, are nice to us? The Democratic Party is going explicitly anti-Semitic. We can see it happening. People are getting benefits, as Seth says, for being anti-Semites. That seems to be part of an appeal in primaries to the left and the party. We have to use what means there are at our disposal. And in my view, and I'm going to put it blank, that is Jewish money. There is an enormous amount of Jewish money in politics, by which I mean Jewish donors, wildly disproportionate, not only charitably, but politically. And when I say charitably, I mean nobody really knows the numbers. Jews make up 2% of the population, according to some studies. Jews make up 20% of the charitable contributions made in the United States annually. That is a tenfold. Think about that. Think about the disproportion of that. And in politics, it's pretty close also. And if that money isn't used, what? Why do people give money? Because they want to influence elections to get people elected who reflect their views. Well, this is an existential issue for Jews. And the Jews who explicitly give money because they want to make it clear to anti-Semitic candidates that they are going to have to go through a buzzsaw and that they are not going to simply waltz in and be, you know, be, if they're treated with kid gloves by the New York Times, we are double time going to do what we can to expose who they are, to find out what we can find out about them that will harm them, and that we will do what we can to prevent them from taking office. What other choice does American Jewry have?
You could stop being awful. Here's the first suggestion. Stop doing all of the stuff that hurts us and makes people dislike you. Do you notice how that never even enters in to the conversation? Because, again, it's got to be predicated on the concept that anti-Semitism is anybody disagreeing with the state of Israel, anybody criticizing Jewish people for any reason. And that criticism or that outrage or whatever it is born from some corrupt aspect of European DNA. Therefore, it has no cause. It has no solution. It just is. It just exists. And so in that case, of course, the only thing you can do is try to snuff it out by, you know, using the endless Jewish money and influence over the press and the, you know, mainstream media to destroy that person's life, as, of course, a symbol to everybody else. So he said that right there. That clip is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. It's pretty amazing how he literally just lays out the thinking in a way that you only ever heard from, like, Nazis. Like, that's basically the Nazi description of how Jews control America, and he's just laying it out there verbatim, going, we use the incredible, you know, we use Jewish money to punish people for going against us. And we want everybody to know that opposing us, I think the metaphor he used was like going through a buzzsaw, right? Okay, so why would we allow this? Like, why are we allowing this? So again, John Poteretz, or whatever that guy's name is, just comes right out and says it. And again, there's a mental illness or something that's there where Thomas Massey is just obviously not an anti-Semite in the first place. Like, I could even sort of understand, at least be more reasonable, if it was literally like, you know, if he was saying this about, you know, whoever, Dan Blitzerian, you know, say what you want about Dan Blitzerian. I think he'd be the first to say he's kind of an anti-Semite. Like, if it's somebody who's like literally all they do every day is just be like, Jews bad, Jews bad, then it's like, okay, that guy's an anti-Semite. Again, you're allowed to be an anti-Semite, and I think it's, you know, ridiculous that we have these ethnic loyalties dictating who gets elected in this country, and not to even throw Dan Blitzerian under the bus. Do you see what I'm saying? That they're treating Thomas Massey, who literally is just like, I don't vote for any foreign aid and I don't like the war in Iran, and that's enough for them to treat him like an existential threat? It's a pathology, but it's a useful pathology, because as he lays out there, the purpose is terror. It's terrorism, really. It's terrorism through the electoral process. It's meant to strike fear into the heart of other congresspeople, other congressmen and women, to tell them you're going into the buzzsaw if you cross us. And crossing us doesn't have to be explicit. You don't have to be an explicit anti-Semite. Better safe than sorry, right? Better just go over and above to do what we want. That way you know you're safe, because even if you're choosing something, you know, on principle, even though you have no problem with Jewish people, but, you know, think that Israel's interest is at odds with America's interest, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you oppose us, you will be destroyed. We'll go above and beyond. We will do it out in the open. Nobody's going to stop us. And, you know, we'll ruin your life. And hell, they'll kill you if that doesn't work, right? We saw the pressure brought against Charlie Kirk before he mysteriously died. You know, it was always a question whether Thomas Massey's wife died of natural causes. I think that, you know, is even more valid of speculation now, because that's what happened here. That's what happened with this Thomas Massey election, is that the Jewish Americans and the Jewish Israelis basically played their hand, showed their cards, and said, this is who we are, this is how we act, and are basically daring anybody to do anything about it. So that's a very big change from how it's been for my entire life. The same amount of power has always been wielded. The openness with which they are now using this power to destroy good people, it is deliberate. I know Alex was going off about this in the beginning of his show, and I thought he put it very well, that there is this, you know, deliberate feedback loop where they want to create anti-Semitism in order to, you know, get laws passed and that sort of thing. We'll get into some of the laws being passed right now. But I think you have to understand that it's about more than that. It really is a matter of psychological manipulation. And it all just goes down to humiliation. It's just humiliation. It's we get to do whatever we want, act in the most outrageous ways you can possibly imagine. I mean, I'll show you some videos today because we're going to talk about this all day. I mean, this is going to be the topic more or less. We're going to be joined by Dr. Malone later to talk about ticks. But I think I'm going to be able to put into context what John Podoretz just said in terms of why they see the need to create terror to achieve their ends and how useful it is. Now, that is the deliberate purpose of this, to send a signal to everybody, you and I included, that they will be acting outrageously and they will be doing whatever the hell they want. And as I look at the world around today and all these things being, you know, implemented, I got to say, I think we've got 2 years. In fact, I'm like absolutely sure that we have 2 years and that everything that we're seeing happen right now is all in preparation for a global communist overthrow of Western governments to install essentially a Jewish superstate over the entire world. I think that's what the data centers are being prepared for. I think that's what the digital ID is being prepared for. I think that's why the war in Iran happened. I think the shortages and the rationing plays into that. And as we know, and as has been, you know, talked about by the people doing it, they plan on May Day 2028 to do a general strike of every major union in the country to grind our economy to a total halt until they get the demands that they want, which include basically a total socialization, communization of our government. So that's about the timetable we're looking at. I mean, as you look around and you see all these things going into place and you hear all the stories about the elite preparing their bunkers and preparing to shut down, I think we're 2 years out of a full-on, like, culling of the human race. And I think that's the date to be established, May 1st, 2028. And I think if we make people aware of this and make people aware of how this is literally exactly 100% to the letter how communist revolutions happened in Russia and were attempted in Germany, then we can look at how those revolutions in the first case succeeded, in the second case failed, and learn how we can combat the new revolution that's coming in just under 2 years. Does that make sense to everybody? As you look around and you see things like the immigration camps being built, but no immigrants being put in there, the anti-Semitism bills quietly being passed in state offices, the ICE QRF force, the conflating of anti-Semitism with terrorism, the denaturalization of American citizens so they can be shipped off to prison camps. Do you see what I'm saying?
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. You got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back, folks. Let's go over just a few of the questions people have about the election yesterday in Kentucky. We're supposed to believe that a guy who had only 75 donations in all of Kentucky somehow beat Thomas Massie, who had millions of donations throughout Kentucky. But I guess one $10 million donation outweighs 10 million $1 donations at the end of the day. Here are the total votes cast in the Republican primary for Kentucky's 4th congressional district. Thomas Massie was the incumbent in 2020 and 2024. In 2020, there were 84,000 total votes. In 2022, there were 66,000 total votes. 2024, 52,000 total votes. And in May 2026, 104,000 to 105,000 votes, meaning that between 2024, which was a election year, by the way, so of course you're going to get a higher turnout because people are going to vote for the president, somehow had about half as many vote totals as this primary. Now, it makes sense that the vote totals were up because this has been such a prominent race that so many people have gotten involved in and have tried to drive out the vote. But how many people are even in this Kentucky district? 104,000 votes in a primary for just the Republicans in a single district, that's absolutely astronomical. Of course, AIPAC celebrating it. They're blatantly stealing elections right in front of our faces. This is from KY underscore statesman. There were twice as many ballots cast in KY04 yesterday than were cast in the 2024 primary. Okay, roughly double. Nothing suspicious about that. Massey loses after 2026 vote total more than doubles the 2024 total. Once again, showing the just unbelievably insane increase, 356.6% rise in the votes for the opposition to Massey. Nobody's buying Massey's election loss. AIPAC-funded opponent increases voter turnout by 357%. That's the story at alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com, the replacement site for InfoWars, from Kellen McBreen. In the wake of yesterday's Republican Thomas Massey's congressional election loss Tuesday, in the wake of Kentucky Republican Thomas Massey's congressional election loss Tuesday, millions of Americans are suspicious that the system rigged the vote in favor of his opponent, Ed Gowrain. A popular social media account run by former Utah Senate candidate Sam Parker posted data from the election showing the vote total for Massey versus Gowrain election doubled the 2024 totals. Furthermore, with Massey's turnout increased by 19%, Gowrain raked in nearly 357% more votes than the incumbent's last competitor. Did Massey get 2020'd? Massey increased voter turnout by 19% over 2024. Gowrain increased the opposition turnout by 357%. So again, what we're seeing is very, very, very reminiscent of 2020, like almost perfectly. The massive number of mail-in ballots where apparently they almost all went to Ed Gowrain and they were just enough to put him over the top and defeat Thomas Massey. Yeah, it's a little bit suspicious. And look, part of the point of talking about sort of the ruthlessness and the, you know, just always going over the top of the Jewish community here in America, like we just played with, you know, John Podoretz, is that they'll do stuff like this. Is that, like, what is out of, you know, an option? Like, this guy's like, we have no other option. We have to do this. Like, you know, they're in a mindset. And again, this is the consequence of trauma-based mind control programming that is done to little kids, little Jewish kids especially, from, like, the moment they're old enough to understand things. Again, it's something that I find utterly horrifying and inhuman as the father of a five-year-old to sit down with that five-year-old and show them, you know, videos of bulldozers shoving over dead bodies and go, this'll be you if the goy ever get in control again. It's like, good Lord. And again, we've, you know, talked about this over and over where you have, you know, famous actresses giving interviews where she's like, at age seven, I was sleeping outside of my parents' bedroom door because I was afraid they would be taken in the middle of the night. So you have to understand that type of mental programming that is encouraged, like we talked about the other, what do they call it? Experiential learning, where at a Jewish camp, they brought all the kids out of bed in the middle of the night and told them Israel had been nuked just to terrify and horrify them. Before going, oh, actually, that was a lie that they weren't nuked, but they could be. So always keep that in mind. And you remember even then how powerful that programming is. Even the guy who wrote the, you know, posts talking about what an evil thing this was to do himself was in the comments defending the people who did it. Went, well, but, you know, you have to understand, like, they thought they were doing something. And it's like, do you understand how powerful this brainwashing is? Do you understand that when we talk about, you know, Stockholm syndrome, like Alex was earlier today, the biggest victims are really the Jews who are traumatized like this and then utilized so that they think that Thomas Massey just being a libertarian and not wanting to support a murderous regime in Israel is somehow an existential threat that not just allows for and justifies, but in fact requires totally illegal, like over the top insane reactions. So like, just like that's where they're at. Okay. So I wish they weren't, wish they wouldn't do this, wish they would just chill and just not like speed run the destruction of America. Then nobody would have a problem with them. But remember, that can never be an option. It can't ever be their fault. It can't ever be anything they do. It couldn't possibly be because of exactly what John Podoretz is talking about, that's increasing anti-Semitism, right? For a guy to sit there and go, yeah, we use Jewish money to destroy Thomas Massie because we didn't like him. And that's what we Jews do. And we'll do it to you if you step out of line. And that was the lesson we were teaching them. You're going into a buzzsaw if you oppose us. Gee, why don't people like you? God, I wonder what it could possibly be. Where's all this coming from? Where's all this anti-Semitism coming from? You just admit to controlling our elections with money and destroying the lives of people who mildly disagree with you. What's wrong with that? Why don't people love you for that? It's insane. It's genuinely insane, which is also why I don't take any of the crocodile tears seriously, because they're actually concerned about, like, not being liked, then they wouldn't behave in the way that they are, right? Is this a complicated thing to understand? It's not. It's not that complicated. And they understand it fully well, obviously. So again, all right, yeah, we get the message. We get the message. Loud, you know, received. Message received, loud and clear. We understand exactly what you're telling us, whether you intend to or not. We get it. I think we all get it now. Of course, AP News has the article, Trump's influence sways in Kentucky GOP primary as U.S. Rep. Massie beaten by Galrain. Kentucky U.S. Representative. So, and this is the really good thing, is that it's so obvious and it's so over the top. And you have so many people like John Podoretz or like AIPAC, right? Like, you got this article here, or this post from AIPAC. Ed Galrain's victory in Kentucky and Clay Fuller's win in Georgia ensures two outspoken pro-Israel voices are positioned to fill seats previously held by outspoken detractors, Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Our community was proud to help pro-Israel candidates win these races. So the good thing about, like, having these people admitting exactly what was behind the loss of Thomas Massie is great, because now you can look at everybody else who's not saying that this is the reason, who's saying that Trump is the reason, or Thomas Massie's votes against border security or whatever other crap they're lying about. It's just absolute confirmation that those people are lying to you, don't have your best interests in mind, and are covering up what they know to be true, meaning that they're a part of the Jewish cabal, I guess you could say. They're actually in service of the people who are buying out our politicians, okay? So that's what we know now. So now when you read the AP article that's like, yeah, Donald Trump really swayed this election, and they don't really mention all the money. They don't really mention all the tens of millions of dollars from the Israeli first oligarchs. Then you go, okay, so they're in on it too, because why would you ignore that? Because why wouldn't you make that the top of your reporting? Because you're lying on purpose. It's not that you don't know. Trump handpicked and endorsed Ed Galrain, whose victory demonstrated the president's influence over GOP voters and growing frustration with Massie's opposition to Trump. In recent weeks, several other Republicans have been defeated by Trump-endorsed challengers, including Senator Bill Cassidy in Louisiana and several Indiana state senators who defied him on redistricting. Massie, who served in Congress since 2012, was one of the most outspoken holdouts. He pushed for the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files, criticized the war in Iran, and voted against the president's signature tax legislation last year. Still, he tried to convince voters that they could be for both him and Trump. But no, we've learned. We understand now. The Republican Party is the party of Israel, and that's it, and that's all, and there's nothing more, nothing less. You can be in favor of transgender children and open borders and DEI. You can be as far left as Castro himself. But as long as you support Israel, you are a dyed red Republican. Alan Dershowitz is a Republican. Thomas Massie is not. You can, on the flip side, believe in every single conservative policy and be as far right as you can possibly be. But if you oppose Israel, you are a Democrat, you're a socialist, you're practically AOC. Now, similarly, it's the same playbook being run on the Republican Party that's now being run on America. See, at the end of this, the Republican Party will have given everything Israel wants to them, and then it will be destroyed. America is going to war with Iran in a way that will help to progress and achieve Israel's goal, but will, in fact, destroy America in the process. It's the same thing they're doing. It's the same thing, because they don't care, because they aren't Republican. Like, Alan Dershowitz is not a Republican and would be happy to see the Republican Party go down in flames and never, you know, get started again. So what does he do? He joins the Republican Party. You think he's doing that to bolster the Republicans? No, he's doing that to shatter and humiliate the Republicans and to shift what it means to be a Republican to one thing and one thing only, slavish support of Israel. It's sad that we're letting them do this, but this is what happens. Okay, so AP News is in on it. They're in on the Jewish conspiracy. More like AP Jews. Good one, crew. Yeah, this is how we're going to be from now on. It's like this was it. No, this was it. The Thomas Massie election, I think, was the final straw. Because you could have held out on like what is actually going on. You can try to desperately, you know. It's about something else. No, we got rid of the Harvard president because she plagiarized things. And no, we sold TikTok to Larry Ellison because China's bad. No, we're going to war with Iran because nuclear weapons, because they hate America. No, we got rid of Thomas Massie because he's against the border wall. It's like, okay, it's time we stop falling for any of this. It's time we stop falling for this already. And I'm looking at you, boomers. What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you such suckers? It's like, it's got to be. I mean, is it not humiliating? It's humiliating for us to watch you do this. Boomers are just, you know what boomers are? They're the most well-fed slaves in the world. They're the most well-fed, well-looked-after, pampered slaves the world has ever seen. And they are thrilled at their slavery. They really are. The boomer generation will stop at nothing until the country is fully raped and destroyed. This from Nikki Rudd X on X. A steady diet of Fox News, Facebook memes, and megachurch sermons brought us here. It's a disgrace. So again, you can see that for every single age group, it was big time plus Massey. It's only the boomers that fell for Ed Gowrain. Again, it's really not even a question. Which is kind of the most insane thing about this, that Ed Gowrain was literally a DEI coach for corporations. He went around and trained corporations on how to discriminate against white people and Christians. And you just voted for him. He was a never Trumper. He literally left the Republican Party in 2016 as a protest against Donald Trump. So, you know, it's not like this was a, hey, both candidates are good or both candidates are bad. It's like, no, one candidate is just the dude and the other candidate is just a literal freaking puppet. It's crazy how obvious it is. Oh, but all this stuff is like this, which is what happens when people like get John Poteretz or whatever their name is. Like, you understand, it's why everything seems insane right now. It makes people insane because you have people out there just flagrantly, outright, obviously lying about things, and it makes people go insane. It genuinely does, because it's sort of constant. Like, you're sitting there and they're telling you Thomas Massie was ousted with Jewish money because he opposed what we want, and this was a lesson to other politicians that if they want to try to oppose us, we'll send the buzzsaw after them. And then you turn on TV and they're sitting there going, you're an anti-Semite if you think this was about anything other than Thomas Massie's opposition to the big beautiful bill. Doesn't it kind of make you feel insane? It's like gaslighting, but I don't even know if they know they're doing it. You know, gaslighting, I would think, would need some sort of, you know, purposefulness behind it. But in this case, I don't know if it's just a general insanity and a subjectivity that makes everything impossible to talk about. Because at the end of the day, that's sort of what the division is, objectivity versus subjectivity. Some people believe that the truth exists and it's out there and is real, and other people like to interpret absolutely everything through a lens of narcissism. And that's what makes everybody insane, because then you don't have truth. You have, you know, beliefs specifically for, you know, different situations that completely contradict each other, and yet, you know, they hold them with full sincerity. And it, you know, makes other people insane. It really does. Here's Sam Parker. Did Massie get 2020'd? Massie increased his turnout by 19%. Now, Ed Gowrain received 10,854 mail-in ballots tonight. Thomas Massie lost by 10,280 votes. And my question is, A, why do mail-in ballots exist? B, why would they ever exist for a primary contest? That is genuinely insane. And three, if they are going to exist, if we are going to have them for primaries, why do they make up a full quarter of the votes? Like, what we know about the mail-in ballot system that we have, because it has not been improved. It has not been upgraded. It has not been made more secure. And it hasn't been undone. It hasn't been reversed. The thing we know about the mail-in ballot program is that including mail-in ballots in the election count make that election insecure, unreliable, and the results should be thrown out, no matter what. Because mail-in ballots, you cannot confirm the person whose name is on it actually sent it in. There's no way. There's no way to confirm it. There's absolutely no way to confirm that it isn't just a mail deliverer opening 10,000 envelopes and voting Gowrain 10,000 times. How do you know it's not? What sort of controls do you have to guarantee that the person who cast the vote is the person whose name is on it? There is not one. It's impossible for there to be one, which is why it's a stupid thing to do and should never be allowed in the first place. A quarter or like a fifth of the entire vote were all mail-in ballots? Yeah, I'm suspicious. You know what we should do is we should go back and forensically audit the election. And what you'll find? You'll find that you have mail-in ballots and there's absolutely no way to confirm whether or not they were really sent to the person. Like, that's the point. You cannot ensure the chain of custody, so you shouldn't be able to count it. So, again, the people that we're talking about will literally defend murdering children in their cribs. Same mindset, same all or nothing, teach them a lesson mentality, right? Look what they can do to Gaza. Look what they can do to Thomas Massie. It's all the same thing. It's all the same mindset. It's all the same pressure points being hit. Again, AIPAC. Voters across America sent a resounding message tonight. They support Democratic and Republican candidates who view strong U.S.-Israel relationship as American interest and reject those who focus on attacking that alliance and pro-Israel Americans. AIPAC congratulates U.S. Navy SEAL Ed Gowrain on his victory over Congressman Thomas Massie in Kentucky's 4th District. Basically, you know, bragging about the fact that they have 105 AIPAC-backed candidates and that basically they all win. They all always win. Again, not because they're good for America, not because they're good for the people, not because they have the support of the people in their district, but because they have the support of a couple billionaires who want to take over America for Israel, have taken over America for Israel and are now flaunting it and making it well known to everybody. And by the way, the person behind the AIPAC account is at 2A Harris. These election rigging operatives hate being dragged into light. They fear sunshine like vampires. This guy has since made his account private for some reason, locked it down, which is pretty interesting. Because why isn't he proud of? I mean, why would he not be proud of being the AIPAC guy? What's wrong with being the AIPAC guy? I wonder what he had on his profile. Maybe we can find like a archive of it. Like, I wonder what type of stuff he was saying on his personal account that maybe he doesn't want people knowing about the people who run AIPAC. I don't know. There you go. Adam Harris. Well done. Well done, traitor. Everybody involved should be arrested and deported. But it's actually more likely that they're gearing up to arrest and deport and or, you know, kill so-called anti-Semites. You know, people like Thomas Massie. I'm going to go to a few videos about this, including reactions from the likes of Nick Fuentes. In the first five of the next hour, I got a lot of videos to get to today. But we can go just for a little taste, I guess you could say. We could go to clip number 10 here, because I don't know if you know this, but there was a flotilla that was attempting to reach Gaza and provide medical aid and food and things, because obviously Gaza, they're still being bombed. They're still being attacked. There's no real ceasefire there. They're still being cut off from humanitarian supplies because, of course, Israel is committing genocide there. And so a flotilla, charitable flotilla, was trying to deliver aid to them. And this is the way Israel is treating the charity workers trying to feed starving people. Let's watch.
Chicken. Free
Palestine.
Chicken.
There you go. And so this is Ben Gavir. Who's like the defense minister or something. And he's literally parading these people around. They've got their hands cuffed behind their back. And they're being treated like terrorists. These people, all they have done is try to deliver food to starving people. Their entire crime is to be trying to carry out unapproved charity for the children and the women and the innocent people that Israel has not murdered, managed to murder quite yet. And so, like, you can hear a woman screaming. She's attacked. So, like, again, that's who we're dealing with here. These people aren't terrorists. They aren't supporting terrorists. They aren't bringing supplies to terrorists. They're doing a very public, you know, well-advertised stunt, basically, to prove how evil Israel is. And they're playing along with it perfectly. So, again, literal terrorist, dude. Who, I mean, there's videos of him, you know, walking and basically stepping on the Palestinian men who, again, have never been charged with a crime, never been given a chance to, you know, argue their innocence. But they are blindfolded, stripped naked, hands behind their back, laid face down while Ben Gavir strides over them and talks about how, you know, they'll soon pass a law to murder all of them. Now, they have passed that law. So I wonder if all of the flotilla members for the crime of, you know, try. Yeah, he posted this, by the way. He posted that video. He's proud of it. Welcome to Israel, he says. They might be killed. Maybe they'll be given the death penalty, you know, bringing charity to starving children. Not if the Jews have anything to say about it. So, you know, what are we supposed to do? Ignore this? What are we supposed to do? Act like these people are good? Act like, well, in Israel, they're like that. But in America, look, all I know is I don't want to be handcuffed and left on a concrete floor. But that looks like where we're going. And when you've got them doing this in the full light of day, publishing the video on their own social media of them, like, literally arresting and torturing with noose pins on the charity workers who are trying to feed starving children, I think we've got to recognize, like, where we're at. Remember when Ben Gavir and other Israeli politicians proudly wore a noose pin to celebrate murdering Palestinian prisoners? They've been trying to tell you who they are for a long time. Believe them. Believe them, you guys. They're very honest in their own way. It's time to believe them.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
transmission. You are the resistance.